Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who have never dropped a Matthew Stafford pass, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is episode 109. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How are you doing, my man?
Chris, I'm a little nervous. I heard that they're not going to be advertising Viagra and Cialis during NFL games anymore, and I'm worried that those aren't going to be available anymore.
TMI, buddy. It's a little bit.
No, it's not like that. It's I have a tendency to roll out of bed, and I need a kickstand.
All right. In today's show, we're going to talk about Calvin Johnson's situation. There's a lot of angles on that one. Matthew Stafford is going to draw some comparisons. Sandman is going to drop by and wake you up. And of course, our favorite multimedia journalist from the DetroitLions.com, Tori Petrie, is going to join us. We've got a whole lot more of this show. Got a great show lined up. Case, are you ready to go, my man?
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, couple announcements before we start the show. First, check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from... That's right, Michael, Matthew, Eric, Lucas, Joel, Nick, Noodle, Jeffrey, Brendan, Justin, John, Rand, Ross, Matt, Morgan, Randy, Peter, Matt G, Kaylin, Scott, Joel, Greg, Marcus, Bryce, Lucas, Danny, David, Richard, Bryce, Chuck, Nasty, and of course our very first donor, Mathis. We also want to call out our newest patrons, Jason, and here's a new guy. I know who it is, but he had to pick the best name ever. Fight Me Case. Also, thanks to Mike K and Floundericious for the donation increases. All of you guys, I love reading your names. We have a little fun with it, but thank you all for joining us and helping us out via Patreon. As you know, I've moved. I'm sitting here broadcasting from the corner of a corporate apartment right now. But as our studio gets built here at the end of the month of August, we'll start doing some video stuff and some other stuff for you guys. Very special for Patreon donors only. If you would like to join that crew, head on over to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Or you can just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on that Patreon link and set up a monthly donation of any amount. We appreciate all of you folks, again, who do it. And anyone who wants to join, thank you. Thank you so much. Don't forget to give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. That's facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And check us out on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast. That is at DET Lions Podcast. Give us a follow because it's the best place to see Case.
With a 3-foot kickstand.
Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever. We love your reviews. Thank you, everyone who's put those out there. Now, we're going to start a little segment here. And you might want to take part. Head on over to iTunes to leave any ratings. Even if you don't get us from iTunes, that's the place to leave the ratings. We're going to pick up those 5-star ratings and we're going to dramatically read them on the air. So have fun with it. Leave some good ratings. Get those 5-star reviews up there and we'll give you and your name and credit and we'll do a nice dramatic read of your review. So check it out. Lastly, don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. That's Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word. You can also give us a call. Leave us a voice message at 929-33-LIONS. That's 929-335-4667. The less sober you are, the better you sound. Trust me. And just leave that message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit, and we're going to start out with fantasy football. Guys, your fantasies are coming true. Fantasy football is back. Check it out. We've got our Detroit Lions Podcast Fantasy Football League kicking off this year again. Check it out, DetroitLionsPodcast.com/fantasy. You get signed up. There's 3 different leagues, but maybe 4 if you want to call it that way. There's a beginner league, the noob league, where you can come in, team defense, play against a little lower tier competition, has a lower entry fee, and it's a little bit easier. But of course, has a lower prize and dollar amount too. There's two intermediate leagues. One is team defense. One is individual defensive players. And then there's the Champions League, where the big superstars from last year are getting together to fight it out for the big bucks. Check it out. It's a great fundraiser for the podcast. Helps keep the site, the podcast going. And you can win some dough. So check it out. Fantasy football. It's DetroitLionsPodcast.com/fantasy. Sign up and get going today. Also, we've launched a new podcast, a couple of the writers from the site. It's the IDP Guys podcast, all about fantasy. Check it out at youtube.com/Detroit Lions podcast. You'll find the IDP Guys there, talking all about everything fantasy. It's going to be great this year. Check it out. All right, we've got a first topic coming out of the subreddit here. This is a big topic, guys, and there's a lot to talk about here. Calvin Johnson, and we'll just give Chef Curry Sauce the credit. His is the top post of the week related to Calvin. There's a lot of news here, Case. You want to kind of break it down a little bit from your perspective?
Well, we talked about this a little bit last time we had a show, right? And I didn't, and I really don't still want to be talking about it.
Like, too late.
It's not something that is fun to talk about because there's no positive here as Lions fans right now. There's nothing good that's coming out of this situation. So, okay. So where we were was that we all thought Calvin was a little miffed that the Lions organization had made him pay back a chunk of his bonus, whatever. The details weren't really important. The organization made him pay back a little bit of what they gave him. And that was like, okay, he's miffed. Not really that big a deal. Everybody will get over it. Well, then, and obviously he'd been out to the Oakland, like OTAs and things like that. Well, I mean, as these things, you know, will do from time to time, it exploded a little bit. And it seems now that he's almost more upset that the Lions were unwilling to release him from his contract with them so he could go play elsewhere than he was with the money in the first place. And that's really like we already were kind of like, okay, I mean, you had a huge contract. It's not like the Lions weren't paying you enough. Let's not, you know. Lions fans were already sort of like siding with the organization in this. Well, this whole thing has kind of created a bit of a landslide. And now I don't think I've seen more than a handful of Lions fans who are on Calvin's side in this whole thing. Like, how in the history of the NFL, in the entire history, how many times has a team willingly released one of their star players, meanwhile eating a big chunk of dead cap in doing so, just so that player could go to another team and chase a Super Bowl?
Happens all the time.
Right, exactly. And the thing is, like, we love Calvin. We want this to be a non-issue. We don't want to be upset with him. Unfortunately, it seems more and more like he just doesn't, like, he's looking for special treatment. Mm. Or not even necessarily that so much as he just doesn't understand that's not how things work. And like, why is he, and my problem with it is, why is he any different than any other player in the NFL? And why is he different than any other player in the NFL who hasn't been to a Super Bowl? That's where my issue lies.
All right. I think that's fair. And then what I want to kind of do, because I love doing this, we bring folks in and we mention it in the show open, and then they don't listen and they're surprised when someone pops up. But for those of you who didn't listen, you got to go back to the show open. Listen, we got Sandman here. Sandman, where are your head at on the Calvin Johnson situation?
You know, Case made a lot of good points, and I agree with him. For the most part, you know, to me, it seems like sour grapes, but late sour grapes, you know, it's
right.
It feels like if this was going to come out, why didn't it come out immediately? Right now, you know, hearing his interview in Italy or wherever the hell it was, it almost feels like he has remorse about being nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
He was nice to the Lions by not bringing this out. He was nice by not saying, listen, I don't think we're going to win here. I love my teammates.
No.
I think the organization is great, but I want to leave. So
no,
trade me, let's get out of it. But I think, right. You know, he didn't do that. And now I think he's regretting it. I think the urge to play is possibly creeping back in. And now he realizes that he made a huge mistake, or his agent made a huge mistake. And he's just, you know, coming out with it and kind of, you know.
No, I just want to reiterate one point that I said. It isn't like the Lions weren't nice to Calvin Johnson to the tune of the most lucrative wide receiver contract in history. So, like, just so we're clear here.
Yeah, no.
It's not like the Lions were screwing over Calvin Johnson, you know.
No, and really, I don't think the Lions are at fault. I don't think Calvin's at fault. It's a business deal, you know, and in the normal business world that we live in, you know, it's not personal, it's business. And that's kind of the way that everything works. But when it's your personal life that's affected, you know, when you're a player, I imagine it's hard to get over some of those business decisions. Yeah. And, you know, like you said, the Lions are never going to just let Calvin Johnson walk and eat his cap. You know, if Calvin Johnson really wanted to be released, really wanted to go to a winner, you know, and try to do his last hurrah at a Super Bowl, there's a million things he could have done, and he didn't do any of them. He could have contacted his agent and said, listen, I'm willing to take a massive pay cut to get traded.
Which is not something he's ever shown the inclination to do.
And that's the weird thing about it to me, is that we have zero signs of this ever being an issue before it was. It kind of was so out of the blue that I was reading it, and I couldn't believe what I was reading. And I listened to the radio interview, and I couldn't believe that either. I just, you know, none of it sounded like Calvin Johnson to me at all.
Yeah.
No, I agree. It's very much so. Like he's just a different person all of a sudden, and maybe he always was that guy, and just, you know, his silence was masking it. But it's one of those situations, like, how do we know how, you know, we became a fan of a dude who very similar in his, you know, humility to the last great Lion in Barry Sanders. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe that's a, you know, a emotional comparison to make here, but you know, it very, very much so, like he gets into the end zone and he doesn't dance. You know, he might celebrate a little bit, but he doesn't make a big deal out of it. He's not a diva. He's not, you know, anything. Very, very quiet, doesn't talk a lot. And then all of a sudden he retires, and now he's not Barry Sanders anymore. Because even in the whole Barry Sanders saga, he didn't talk. So it was like we were thinking that he was the same guy. Mm-hmm. And now he's not the same guy as Barry Sanders. Yeah. And that's kind of like a hard thing to, you know, come to terms with.
I have a couple of thoughts here. One, Calvin, he was a guy that I think everybody, including him, recognized how beat up his body was when he retired. And I think that was probably beyond anything else, the number one reason why he walked away from the game. And it makes perfect sense. His fingers looked like just the most mangled group of ugliness that I've ever seen. And, you know, he went out, he did Dancing with the Stars, all the other stuff. And I think he feels a heck of a lot better now. I think that wear and tear, though, on his body, you can kind of see it in his stats over time, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And those stats weren't there at the end. Is it because his fingers were pointed all different directions? Or was it that maybe he was getting older and he was beat up to the point where he doesn't have... You'll never know.
His ankles, you know.
Never know until he gets back on the field again. But the other part of it, I think, is and it goes to what the Sandman was talking about the business deal. You know, you come to the best deal you can. And sometimes people get screwed. Sometimes it's the owner. You look at like a Kirk Cousins, he's going to get far more money than more than double of what he deserves. Right. And you kind of feel good for him. It's like, wow, one day I dream of a payday where I get, you know, 10 times what I deserve.
Mm-hmm. And stick it to the company.
Yeah. And then you look at some guys that just, you know, Ziggy might be on the sour end of a deal right here too, the way he signed at his unknown age, and the way they can franchise him till he gets kind of a little bit older, that may not play well for him in the country. It works both ways. But the bottom line is both sides signed a contract and they thought that was the right deal for them. And once you sign that thing, you said that's the right deal. You know, things change tomorrow, but if I look, you take the business deal thing. If I sell a stock today and it goes down $10 tomorrow, I'm like, yeah. And the person I sold it to doesn't come back to me and say, hey, right? Unless I had insider info. If it goes up $10 tomorrow, I don't get to yell at the person I sold it to and tell them to give me $10 a share more. We both thought that was the right deal at the time. And that's just the way it worked out. And that's just, you know, with the information we had, that's the decision we made and we agreed to. So with the Calvin thing, he got a great, great contract. I'm frustrated that he left on it and he retired on it because he signed a deal. And those deals are so front loaded. He got, you know, so much out of it early. He didn't give that much in the scheme of things back.
I'm not even frustrated. Like he retired because he was hurt. And I'm not angry about that. It's all the stuff after the fact.
If he wants to come back, he's made a deal that he has to stand up for and honor and come back for the team that he signed with. And you're right. The idea of I don't want to say crying about it because I don't feel like that's what he's doing. I don't think that's a proper representation of Calvin's position. But it's just that's the deal you signed, and now you have to honor that deal, period. So that's kind of where my head's at. I don't know if I'm out in left field on that or not.
No, I just don't agree.
I just don't think like Calvin was a special player on the field for sure. But in terms of him as a person, as a player in the NFL, as a entity, he doesn't get to do things and get things from a team that nobody else has ever, you know, got. He doesn't get to have special treatment just because he was good on the field. And I'm sorry that might sound harsh, but like it seems like he's expecting the team to just say, well, it's fine if you just want to go chase a Super Bowl. That's no problem with us. But I mean, that's not a realistic thing to ask an organization to do. And that's what bugs me here. It's like he doesn't understand where the team is coming from in this thing, where the team maybe understands where he's coming from, even if they hold more cards than are maybe fair. And I've talked about, you know, more than once how I, generally speaking, I am on the player's side on things. And generally speaking, I would like to see the player's rights. The CBA, you know, the player's union, I'd like to see them have stronger footing.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things for me too that, you know, if I was Calvin Johnson's PR person, I would be trying to pull away from the Lions are at fault for not releasing me from my contract.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would be putting onus on the Players Association that put a CBA in place that allowed, you know, me as a player to potentially not have equal footing as the owner when it came time for me to sign my contract.
Right.
So if Calvin Johnson was afraid of taking the Kirk Cousins route and risking injury to get a ginormous payday where he wants to go, and you know, that's not on the Lions for that. That's not on Calvin Johnson, you know, per se for that. That's kind of on the CBA that his union signed. So if he came out and said, listen, I think the CBA kind of sucks because I can be franchised twice. Yeah. If I'm injured, my value goes down to nothing. I needed to take the money now. Although looking back on it, I shouldn't have signed an 8-year deal, but that was the only option I had at that point. I took it and now I regret it. And I hope other players in the future don't go through what I went through. That is a 110% different thing than saying the Lions screwed me over by not letting me out of my contract.
Right. Absolutely. Now, all this said, maybe to wrap it up in a bow, and I think this is probably something we can all agree on, we will all be very, very happy to embrace Calvin back into the, you know, pantheon of great Lions.
Oh, heck yeah.
As soon as we possibly can. As much as we might be frustrated, right. As much as we might be frustrated with the way he's going about what he's going about at this moment. I don't think anybody, I can't even imagine. Well, I've seen a few, YouTube quality comments, but like for the most part, like any rational fan, like we all want Calvin to be back, we want him on our Mount Rushmore of Detroit Lions. We all want that.
Yeah, no one will disagree with that.
Please, Calvin.
Is there going to be a ban?
Cool it.
On is there going to be a Calvin ban in the Sandman video archives? Or are we gonna get through this okay?
I've already deleted all my footage.
No, so my God.
It's already gone. I'm deleting his videos off my channel next week. So
I'm burning my jersey right this second. Right in my living room, I am burning my jersey.
Oh, man. All right, let's move on to the next one. And, boy, this was a great post. It was by GBChris12 in the subreddit. And I couldn't echo it more. It fits in with our kind of switch to the radio thing we talked about last year, and that's not going to stop this year. Find a way. There's a couple apps out there, or if you're local in Detroit, find a way to get that radio broadcast to be the audio for your football games when you watch. Dan Miller, Jim Brandstatter, the very, very best broadcasters in the business, and there's nothing better than hearing, and I'm kind of going to the title of the post here, I just can't fucking wait to hear Dan Miller's beautiful voice scream, "Touchdown, Detroit Lions!" again. And there is absolutely...
How big are you?
Yes, there is something really, really special about that. And again, switch to the radio, right? It's the only way to listen to the game. Sandman, do you agree?
I do agree, actually. As a season ticket holder, I'm obviously at half the games. And one of the really great things that Rod Wood did this past year, and it might have even been the year before, I don't really remember, to be honest, was to give club members, and I'm sure if you're a normal season ticket member, you could get one of these too, but ear radios that you just pop on one of your ears. And you can listen to Brandy and Dan Miller's, radio broadcast as you are at the game live. And it really does add, a special factor, not only because you get to know what happens to injured players or, the stuff that you don't normally get to see when you're at a game, but because, of Dan Miller and Brandy's knowledge of the game and their emphatic calling of it, really does bring, an extra layer to the game that normally you wouldn't get.
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. Everything. We've had the wonderful opportunity to speak to both of those guys, and hopefully we'll get them on again sometime in the near future. But everything is so iconic. Anytime there's a big moment for the Lions, I hear their voices in my head. And I think a lot of Lions fans feel the same way.
And no, that's a great point, Case. And just, so you folks know, we're working right now with Dan and Brandy. We're going to have them back on the show again. They both joined us a couple of times and love having them on. We're going to get them on to try to do a preview of the Lions season this year. So look out for that in the next couple of weeks. They probably won't be on together. The rumor is they really don't like each other at all, to be honest. They despise each other, and they try not to get together until they force them into the booth when that magic happens. So okay, there's the horrible rumor I'll start for the year. But no, we're gonna get them both on the show individually, and we'll talk about what they think of the Lions and their kind of preview for the year. Next one, this is a fun one. This one was by Lions Fandom in the subreddit. He says that Matthew Stafford was 151 yards short of leading the Lions in rushing in 2016. Now there's a couple angles we could take on that, but I also want to kind of add another piece. Peyton Manning went 0-3 in his first three playoff games. And that was Colin just tossing it out there. There's a lot of angles here, right? There's a couple different things. Do you want your quarterback to be 151 yards short of leading your team in rushing? Maybe if he's Michael Vick at the beginning of his career. I'm not thinking I want that of Matthew Stafford. Kind of makes me think that maybe our run game wasn't up to snuff last year.
maybe it wasn't. For me, that 151 number is shocking. It's a ludicrous, ludicrous stat that I'm sure will be on Jeopardy in 10 years just because of how insane it is. For me, I need to see a zero in that 151 somewhere at the end between the one and the five, maybe. That's, you know, it's just crazy to me that Stafford had, you know, that he had that many opportunities to even, you know, rush that many times to get the close to our other guys. And then number, you know, two, that our run game was so by committee that we really didn't have a single guy that we could ever fully count on to, you know, handle the full load.
Well, here's what I will say. I do think that it may actually have been an underutilized factor of Stafford's game early in his career. But we heard during the off seasons, you know, from the like 2012 to 2015 off seasons, all about how much training, athletic training Stafford was doing, you know, things about like running up and down stairs at, you know, stadiums. And even when he was on vacation with his wife, you know, et cetera. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's showing up in the game. And I think that's like, it's a valuable part of what he can do. I don't want to see him hurt by running a lot, but holy shit, wasn't that truck against the Titans one of the you know, the most fantastic moments of the year? Even if that game as a whole was like, that game as a whole was one of the most unwatchable games. I will never, ever go back and watch that game because it was so horrendously officiated. But that moment in that game was, that's iconic. Stafford.
I'm haunted by that phantom offensive pass interference call on still to this day.
I get that. And we don't need to go into that game because I don't know who the better team was that game. All I know is that I got robbed of actually watching a real football game that day. he is a phenomenal and maybe he's kind of evolved into a Ben Roethlisberger type quarterback in that sense. Like he's a big boy now, and he can take hits and he can give hits. He's not Cam Newton, but we don't want him to be Cam Newton. But the fact that he can pick up significant yardage on the ground, of course, obviously, we'd rather have, you know, a 1500 yard rusher. But in and of itself, I'm just glad that Stafford has learned how to and learned how to utilize his skills and his strengths in that part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really his rushing prowess has kind of shown people how badly he actually wants to win, because in a lot of those cases, he definitely should not be running, but it was third down and 12. And he just knew that, well, I'm not going to make this pass. I got to do this myself. And the willingness that he has to do that really, you know, I'm sure his teammates see it. I'm sure the coaches see it. Yeah. That's a winner. We have a winner. And if you're on this team and you're not a winner like Matt Stafford, maybe you shouldn't be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And the idea that, I mean, he has grown into quite a leader. I remember when he started in the early couple of years, Calvin was a quiet, you know, quiet, quote unquote, leader. Stafford was a quiet, quote unquote, leader. They weren't the guys that were cheering the team on. We were relying on guys like Nate Burleson and some of the other fellas out there to get the team hyped. But you need these stars. You need these stars to help elevate these other guys and get them, you know, on their game. And it's nice to see Stafford kind of taking that role a little bit. The other piece of it is, and this, you know, I think this is important. Stafford came in to an 0-16 team and has turned this team into something that is competitive on the field, is a good product. And barring some silliness, has a chance in a playoff game a couple years ago and has a chance to do some good stuff, barring injuries and all the other stuff. I think they had a better year in them than they wound up with last year. But you see a guy like Peyton Manning, who's gone down as one of the all-time greats, and hearing that he went 0-3 in his first three playoff games. Now, admittedly, his first three playoff games were much earlier in his career than Stafford's were, but Stafford came to an 0-16 team, right? The idea that, well, Stafford hasn't won a playoff game, that's a team stat. That's not a quarterback stat, but people talk it up, right? And if you want to talk it up, then you can throw Manning in the pile because he went 0-3 too. I mean, look, I'm a Lions fan. I'm not a slappy, but, you know, this story isn't written yet. And a lot of the folks that kind of talk about Stafford, and I went, so far as to ask in the subreddit about the Stafford meme, right? Where are these people that are saying trade Stafford? Because I've never met one in the wild. They're like unicorns. I hear bloggers and writers talking about, you know, those Stafford haters, but I've never really met one. And I don't know if it's just a meme and it's like a technique to write about something or what, but I just don't see that kind of hate for Stafford out there. I think people recognize that he is a winner at heart, and he will do everything it takes to get this team into a position to win.
Yeah, you know, Stafford's playoff, you know, statistics, you know, to me are unique in that, you know, people like to put QB wins, you know, at the top of, you know, QB stats, you know, forget yardage, forget touchdowns. How many games did he win? You know, and those numbers are completely deceiving, especially for somebody like Matthew Stafford, who has through his entire career never had a good running game. He had a good defense once, and that's it.
I said the exact same thing today. I literally said that exact same thing today. Once he had a good defense, and he's never had a good run game.
Yeah, and people, you know, after 2014, people are like, oh, the defense is going to be good. Yeah, we, you know, we don't have Sue again, you know, but we'll still be able to handle it. And really, all we've seen is that we haven't even been able to unleash the real Matthew Stafford. Last year when we got into the playoffs, his finger was hurt. But even before then, the entire game plan of the team was basically keep the ball as long as possible so that our defense doesn't get smashed.
Yep. Well, we see him unleashed during the 2 minute drills. That's when we see him unleashed, and he looks fucking phenomenal. So it's too bad we can't, you know,
we'll see.
Allow that aspect of him to be more prominent.
I think we'll see what happens with Cooter's evolution this year and his relationship with Stafford. And that goes back to, it also goes back to, I think the, you talk about him not having a running game. He's the kind of guy that said, if I don't have a running game, I'll just make one. And there he is, 151 yards short of leading the Lions in rushing. So, something to be said.
Stafford is the Lions right now.
That's
right. For sure.
And if you're thinking Lions and you're thinking Matt Stafford, you want to get yourself a nice Detroit Lions, maybe a Matthew Stafford jersey, or maybe you want to get one of his targets, a jersey for yourself, maybe yourself a nice Eric Ebron jersey, who I think will be a pretty big target this year. You got Golden Tate out there who's looking good. Marvin Jones, all those guys, those jerseys are available from Fanatics, but don't just go there on your own. Head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Go to the menu and you'll find a shop link, and then you can take you right there to Fanatics to get all kinds of official Lions gear. Best way to get your gear, you pay the standard rate for the official good quality stuff, but they give us a little kickback for sending you there. So DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on the shop link. Same thing goes for any of your Amazon purchases. Just click on the shop link. It'll take you to Amazon or to SeatGeek for your tickets, concerts, sporting events, anything you can think of. Last call. DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on that shop link. You can go to any of those three areas. It's a great way to help out the show by doing something you were going to do anyway. All right. So we've been sitting here talking about a whole bunch of stuff here with the Lions, the show, because that's what we do in this show. But there's this guy sitting around. This guy named Sandman, and he's just talking about stuff, and you know, he's no dummy. He's about good stuff. But it's, you know, some people might say, why is Sandman sitting in here? What's going on? And maybe some of our listeners haven't been around. We're in our third year of the show. Maybe they're not used to it, but Sandman always comes around this year because he knows you're sleepy this time. And he puts something together, his yearly hype video. Man, what do you got going? I saw a little preview. I don't want to give anything away, but I really like the chicken scratch music that we were playing. That was really, really hype. Talk a little bit about what you got coming for us this year.
You know, this year's hype video, you know, is a fun one for me, mostly because when I find music that really speaks to me and speaks for a video that, you know, to me will get me pumped up. You know, it makes it that much easier and that much funner to make these kind of videos. And this year, I think the soundtrack is A+. I really think that this year is going to be a good one as far as that goes. And, you know,
it's great for 90s kids.
Exactly.
Oh, it is. Don't give too much hint, away. Hint. That's what, I was going to refer to it as like the Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band or something like that. This is something. The music alone is It just I had goosebumps. It was amazing to get the preview, and thank you for sharing the preview, Sam. This, you've outdone yourself this year. It's incredible.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to getting it out. I think I'm gonna release it a little bit later this week. Got a few little tweaks here and there, but for the most part, I'm all set and ready to go, and I'm really excited to share it. I'm ready to get people pumped up for training camp, which is around the corner, and get everybody raring to go for a hopefully fantastic 2017 season.
Oh, God. These players need to watch this video before they come back for training camp, so they're ready to go. I was telling Case, it was like, I can't get any more, man. If he adds any more to this, it just might just blow up. I might have to be calling for the four-hour erection hotline or something. But it was good stuff. Really, really well done, Sam. And I sincerely mean that. You've truly outdone yourself this year. Let's tell our listeners, when it's time, how are they going to be notified that it's out there, and then where can they go to find it?
So you can follow me on Twitter at Sandman7773, or you can follow me on YouTube at youtube.com/u/Sandman7773. Or I believe it's actually, no, I'm wrong, Sandman Lions. That was my old channel that got shut down for unknown quote unquote reasons. So I will be posting it all over the place. Hopefully you have friends that are Lions fans. They see it. They're sharing it. Or you see it and you share it so that they can see it. Because really, it's, you know, about getting people ready for the season. And if they don't know about my videos or they don't want to get hyped, too bad. Share it anyway. They should see it.
For sure. For sure. That's great stuff. So subreddit, Twitter, and we'll retweet it like crazy from our Twitter account as well. Check it out. I am not overstating when I say how great this video is this year. If you need your Lions fix, if you need to get ready for training camp, this is it. So later this week, when it kicks off, make sure you go find it. Share it with your friends. Put it on your TV. Get that big sheet and the projector out and just sit there and you know, do the dirty while you're watching this hype video, because it is.
Yeah, awesome. Watch it on the toilet, on your phone. Who cares? Just watch it.
So, you know, and we talk about it, and we don't want to give much away. So next time we talk to Sandman, we'll maybe talk a little bit more in depth about what's in the video. But there's more. There's even more when we talk to Sandman. We don't just bring him around to talk about hype videos, as great as they are. We've had some ideas we've been talking about and kicking around, and this year we're going to make them a reality. We're going to change up that post-game show and turn it into something a little bit different. We're going to welcome in some of the folks from the Reddit NFL podcast that we're putting out there with Risden. We're kind of combining that with the post-game show, and we're going to create an afternoon NFL companion show. We'll have Sandman, Risden, Case, myself, and a rotating cast of characters that come through, and we'll talk about the early games of the day, but we're just going to pick a game, and we're going to sit down, we're going to chat, we're going to hang out and watch football together. We'll live stream it for you. We'll take your calls. You can talk about Lions. You can talk about any other football you want. We'll take your calls live, and we'll just have some of the normal fun we have, but it'll be just a little bit more casual, a little bit more laid back, and a little bit more about hanging out with friends and watching some football. And we found it's a little easier to watch football when it isn't the Lions, right, Sandman?
You know, absolutely. As much as I love the Lions, I almost can't say that, you know, it's hard for me to enjoy watching the Lions because it's such a stressful situation for me because I'm so emotionally invested. You know, it's hard to, you know, when we go up 28 points in the first half, then I can relax and then it's a good time and everything's
well,
great.
I'd like to relax then. Unfortunately, history is, you know.
Shh. My breathing's
yeah, but that's
short.
Exactly. That's the, you know, that's when I can enjoy football when the Lions are playing. But every other time I want to be in my dark little cave or, you know, in my seat at the stadium, not talking to anybody else and trying to figure it out. So it is. It's a completely, you know, it's a nice experience to unwind after a Lions win and just watch normal football. That doesn't have any stakes in it whatsoever other than maybe fantasy football points.
No, I completely agree. I can't really deal with other people around when I'm watching games. I told you guys this story before we started here, but back in the game, Calvin Johnson's 300-plus yard game against the Cowboys, I was at a buddy's apartment, and I was watching the game on my laptop, and it looked for all intents and purposes, like the Lions were going to lose. And so I was in that, you know, back and forth, like I wanted to walk away and not continue watching, but I couldn't walk away for more than a minute without coming back to, you know, check on it. And then all of a sudden everything happened. I'm on the floor crying and my friend is like, "What's wrong with you?"
Tears of joy. Yeah, you know, it's definitely one of those things where, yeah, I think the last time I had people over for a game was the Titans game, you know, a couple years back, that Titus Young at the end of the game caught that miraculous Hail Mary for us to tie it at the last second, and then just for us to lose with a bad Dominic Raiola snap at the last second. You know, I had four or five people over, and I was already, you know, not feeling that great. And then as soon as that happened and we lost the game, I couldn't sit there, and I definitely couldn't handle people saying, "It's okay, they'll get back at it next week.
Just a game.
Get out.
It's just a game.
Every one of you son of a bitches, get out of my house now."
Well, yeah, they should have lost anyway before the Hail Mary. Like, you get out of here. You know, I'm going to set the house on fire with you in it, probably. You know, like, holy moly, I can't handle that. That was the last time, and I learned my lesson the hard way.
I'll show you why I have locks on the outside of the house.
Real quick anecdote. My wife's name is Jessica. But I learned very quick that from downstairs, when she's upstairs, when the Lions do something good and I yell, "Yes, yes, yes," she comes running thinking that I'm yelling Jess, like I'm I've been seriously injured and I'm on the floor bleeding out. So I have to be a little careful.
Screaming Jess.
Yes. She like comes down and the combine has fallen over on top of you.
Right, know? Exactly. That could happen out here on the farm.
She'll be thinking the Lions won. He's out there bleeding out. Oh, on that happy note, hey, Sandman, thanks so much for joining us, man. It's great to have you in the show. I'm really looking forward to the companion show here in the regular season. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. Case, good work today. It's This Week in Reddit.
Thanks, guys.
Time for a different kind of breakdown with today's special guest.
And she's back. We're joined again by one of the Detroit Lions' most prized multimedia journalists, a close confidant and advisor to Bob Quinn. Tori Petri is on tap. Tori, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you guys, as always, for having me. It's my pleasure.
We absolutely love having you, Tori. And our listeners absolutely love getting to listen to you. So we want to get your kind of take on some of the things. You know, obviously this is the slow time of year, so news isn't exactly bursting right now, but you had some time to maybe look at and hear things coming out of the OTAs and especially with the rookies, and we're just, you know, we want to be hyped about the rookies. What should we be hyped about?
Well, I mean, I think there's definitely something to be hyped about in Jared Davis. I mean, as expected, he took over at that middle linebacker position during OTAs and all like that. And, you know, that was what we saw coming because that's what Bob Quinn said after the draft. But he really stepped in there and, you know, took over that during training or during the summer workouts. And that's kind of what we saw from Taylor Decker last year, where he stepped right in at left tackle and, you know, never missed a beat there. And that's kind of the same process they're using with Jared Davis, you know, and we'll see how the whole linebacker position ends up panning out. Of course, Tyron Whitehead wasn't able to participate throughout the offseason training program. But, you know, we'll see what happens once he gets in there and how things pan out with that. But, you know, we saw some nice plays from Tease Tabor as well.
I was going to ask about him.
Yeah, during OTAs, he had a really nice interception on Marvin Jones on a pass from Matthew Stafford. That was definitely one of the highlights of OTAs, I would say, for sure. It might have been mandatory minicamp, actually. You know, it all starts to run together at this point in the summer. Yeah, but, you know, one of those things that it was a really nice play by him. And, you know, I think we talked about this the last time I was on, about how tough it is to adapt at the cornerback position into the NFL from college. And, you know, he's been working on that. So there's definitely some things to be excited about and see how things will pan out this year. But of course, I would say the main attention is on Jared Davis.
Sure.
All right, and then let's look at some of the vets and the free agents. Those guys are coming in. You have TJ Lang, Ricky Wagner. Any standouts amongst the guys that have been around for a little bit? I'm sure Matthew was an amazing self as usual, but how about the other guys? Were they looking good out there? Is anyone that really, really stood out as, wow, this guy's done something in the offseason to make the next level?
Yeah, I mean, TJ Lang, of course, we are all excited to see the offensive line get into action this year, but TJ Lang hasn't been able to participate because he's still recovering from injury. Hopefully right. We'll be able to see him in action in training camp. Rick Wagner was out there, you know, but, you know, those offensive linemen, you know, they're doing a good job when they're not making a lot of waves. And, you know, he was just out there strong and steady throughout everything in the offseason training program, just holding down that right tackle position. And, you know, with the whole Taylor Decker injury, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in training camp, you know, once you get Greg Robinson, Cyrus Ponjo in there, see what happens with Joe Dahl. You know, there's so many moving pieces on that offensive line and different combinations that could happen. I think that's one that we definitely are looking forward to seeing more of coming up. But as far as, you know, some of the veterans to look out for, I definitely think the defensive line is going to be a place to keep an eye out for. Of course, you know, you lost some of those guys who started last year in Devin Taylor and Tyron Walker. They were, you know, kind of starters there on the defensive line, and they're not back this year. So who's going to fill those holes? Obviously, you have Haloti Ngatasuagbo, so those are givens on your defensive line. Kerry Hyder's probably going to have a pretty big role this year based on the breakout season he had last year. No reason to, you know, fix it if it ain't broke. But, of course, he's trying to, you know, continue to earn that spot. But with the way Terrell Austin runs his defense, he likes to rotate guys in and out. So there are going to be more than, you know, just four starters on the defensive line. I mean, there will be four starters, but there will be guys who play just as much as those four guys. So I think we saw A'shaun Robinson take a lot of snaps with that first team rotation during OTAs and minicamp. And we also saw two free agent signees, Akeem Spence at defensive tackle and Cornelius Washington at defensive end, take a lot of snaps there as well. But it will be interesting to see how that plays out during training camp because, of course, on the defensive line, a lot of that depends on how well you do in pads. And, of course, they're just in shorts during OTAs and mini camp. Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how that shakes out, you know, once the pads come on and they start doing those one-on-one drills and everything. But I think right now Akeem Spence and Cornelius Washington are two names to look out for.
For sure. Now, having just moved to Florida, I can say not everyone looks good in shorts, but that's for a different conversation. All right, let's
Like me.
Better legs than a coffee table, my friend. Let's talk a little bit about the coaching staff. You know, Jim Bob Cooter, last year was effectively his first year as an offensive coordinator. And have you noticed anything different about him this year? How's he looking? How's his relationship with Matthew Stafford? Have you seen any changes or evolution out of it without, of course, giving away the playbook? How's he looking out there?
I mean, I think, you know, just based off of what Matthew has said, you know, in media sessions and everything, that they're really clicking even more this year. And, you know, we heard that after Jim Bob first took over 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. You know, when Jim Bob first took over that offense, it was, oh, we just get each other so much. And that relationship has only grown as they've continued to work together. If they understood each other that much back then, just think where that's at now that they've had a year and a half to learn each other's strengths and weaknesses and opinions and preferences and all that kind of thing. And I think that that's something that, you know, we should be interested to see this season, especially, you know, with the possibility of having a better run game this year. I think that's something that the Lions are aiming for, you know, with the return of Amir Abdullah, hoping for him to be healthy this whole season and then a bolstered offensive line. You know, what will Jim Bob do with that? And I think that's going to be one of the key things to watch this season and definitely a place where the Lions can improve.
So let me ask really quick on that offensive line. What do you think about the Taylor Decker injury and how is that going to affect the team and the run game? I'm excited to have Amir back. I picked up a jersey before his first training camp. And I'm a big fan and think he has some amazing skills if he could just stay on the field long enough to exhibit them. But Taylor Decker going down really gives people pause on how that line's going to hold up. Do you think we're still going to be able to make hay with him in the lineup?
Well, it's hard to say. It's hard to say too soon because, you know, it's just one guy. You don't want to spell doomsday just over one guy going down, and you don't know how long he'll be out. We have absolutely no idea how long that will be. But, you know, you do face some really good defensive lines to start the season off. So, you know, that's something to think about as well. But, you know, there are ways that they've talked about, you know, you can kind of make up for that lack on the left side. And I mean, you look at not 2016, but 2015, the right tackle position was such a revolving door. There was no stability at right tackle whatsoever. I mean, you had Riley at left tackle, but they just were struggling with injuries and, you know, revolving door at right tackle. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's going to be that situation again, but they were able to, you know, kind of figure it out there towards the end of that season and on what to do with that situation. And I think they're going to have to get a little bit creative and do some problem solving while Taylor Decker is out. Now, if Greg Robinson is able to come in and really capitalize on his skills and fulfill the potential that he has always had, then that solves a lot of problems for you.
Yeah,
for,
sure does.
You know, he came in and said that he feels like it's a fresh start here in Detroit. You know, Coach Caldwell, you know, the players love playing for him. So that could be just the spark that Greg Robinson needs. We'll see what ends up happening. Of course, Ron Prince is going to be overseeing that offensive line. I know he's going to work with Greg Robinson and try to get the most out of him. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. It's just way too hard to really predict anything right now because we haven't seen Robinson on the field at all. I mean, he was there for the very final day of minicamp, but he wasn't practicing because he had literally just landed from LA. So, you know, it's hard to say how that offensive line will pan out, but I know we'll all be paying attention to it during training camp.
Yeah, Greg Robinson is a career of high hopes, and hopefully this is his time to deliver. I would love to see him live up to the hype and the expectation that he came out of college with.
And we end up in a very interesting situation if that does happen, if Greg Robinson does, you know, perform, because Taylor Decker will be coming back. And whether that's sometime this season or whether that's next season or whatever, we end up in a not totally dissimilar situation to what the Vikings have going on with Sam Bradford and Teddy Bridgewater. Obviously, that's, you know, that's high hopes for Greg Robinson at this point in his career. Yeah, but well, it's good, stranger things have happened.
The good part is about the offensive line is that if you have a guy that's at left tackle, you can always swing him inside to guard if you want to keep him around and he's performing well for you.
For sure. So that's, you know, that's kind of a good overview of how OTAs, the off-season minicamp, et cetera, have all gone. There's a big story going on right now, and we don't want to, you know, we're not trying to get too personal on this particular thing, but Calvin Johnson's been in the news for the Lions quite a bit the last couple weeks here. And it's kind of a contentious topic, and I don't know that we're gonna hear anything that's, you know, groundbreaking or mind blowing about it. But where is the team sitting with this situation right now?
Well, team president Rod Wood went on the radio yesterday to talk about the uniform unveil and which games will be wearing their new uniforms for this year. And that was one of the things that he talked about. And of course, no team wants to have a bad relationship with former players. You know, that's just not the way that you hope these things play out, especially when it's somebody that did as much for your team as Calvin Johnson. And I can't speak for where he's at or where the Lions are at or anything like that. All I know is what Rod Wood said on the radio. And he said that they really hope to mend that relationship, and Rod Wood has reached out to him and invited him to training camp and basically said that the ball is in Calvin's court. He doesn't know if he'll accept, but they want him to be a part of the organization. So, you know, Coach Caldwell talked about it several weeks or months ago as well and said that it's, you know, it's like a family works things out, and that is their intention, you know, in the long run.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, we've everybody, every single Lions fan is also a Calvin Johnson fan. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of differing opinions on exactly what's going on here, but everybody wants to see this thing resolved, you know, in a positive way for both Calvin and the team. Like, that's what everybody wants, and hopefully that's what we see.
He should just come back and get a Super Bowl. I think everybody would be just happy with
obviously,
that.
Obviously.
Easy. Seems easy to me.
Easy enough. there's another topic, and this one maybe is a little bit easier to talk about just because he isn't quite as prolific or even really hasn't played for the Lions at all. That's Armani Bryant, and he's been suspended for the first 4 weeks of the season. And is there any idea whether or not we think the Lions are done there? Or are they in a situation where, you know, he's an extremely talented player, and that's a position where they're in great need of talented players?
Well, that news just came down recently, so it's hard to say yet where the team is at with what exactly they'll do and what decision they'll make. I know that they were willing to give him a second chance last year, because if you remember, he was suspended to start the season last year, suspended 4 games last year as well. And, you know, he came in and said that was all over with. He was grateful for the second chance and everything. You know, and then this happens this off season. So we'll see where the Lions are at, if they want to give him another chance or if they want to stick to kind of their mantra of wanting high character guys and all like that. You know, it's hard to predict. I know they judge everything on a case by case basis, and I don't know the details of this one. So I don't know exactly how things will pan out. But they are hurting on the defensive line as far as needing some major pass rush ability. It was an area that they were lacking in last year, and I know that's something they want to improve in this year. Now, Armani Bryant wasn't one of your staples, but he did have some impact plays for you
in a short amount of time.
In a short amount of time. So, you know, he was a valuable contributor. You know, we'll see how they end up weighing things out. But, you know, Terrell Austin said they hope this year that they can get their pass rush that they need their front four, but if not, then they're going to have to get creative and find other ways to get that pass rush going. So that might end up being what the Lions have to do this year, but we'll just see how it plays out.
Well, with you in the room with Bob, I'm sure that we'll get the right thing done, and we'll move forward from there. So there's another question, this is a different topic, but I think it's important. We've talked a little bit about how we're doing a big get-together on family night at Ford Field when the Lions come down there for their preseason workout. And we're going to be doing a big bar takeover afterward, getting everyone together and having some fun. But the big question, a lot of buzz on Twitter, no one understands how to get tickets for family night. Now, family night at Ford Field on August 5th is the one time during the preseason where tickets are required. Every other time is on a first come, first serve basis. Do you have any kind of insider info for us on how us folks and all the people listening can get tickets?
Yeah, so those tickets have not come out yet as of the time that I'm talking to you guys right now. You know, by the time someone is listening to this, they might have. But they are actually going to be available on DetroitLions.com within the next week or so. So everybody keep tuned to the Lions social media accounts and everything, and we'll have that information for you guys. But you should just be able to go on there, you know, click the link, obtain your ticket. It's going to be free to get your ticket, but you just present your ticket at the door and enjoy family day at Ford Field. It's something that they did last year, and it was a good time. I'm looking forward to it again this year.
For sure. And we'll be able to just to pick ours up at will call, right? All right, so moving on. So moving on to the next piece. There's been a lot of different features that you've done, and this is really cool. As the Lions and some of the other teams have added their multimedia crews and journalists to the team, It had always been such a tough time of year. It's still, there's not a whole lot going on football wise, but you guys have really been able to kind of carry the load and kind of fulfill people's needs for news and info and insight and just kind of good information about the players, a little in-depth stuff. And I wanted to just take a moment and talk a little bit about some of the off-season features you've done. I know I particularly like the one with Marvin Jones. I'm comparing audio studios with him now. Of course, now that I've moved, I'm coming from the corner of a master bedroom in corporate housing, but it's a little bit different than what I'm used to. But talk about these features a little bit. Tell and kind of what goes into them and some of the things that you've done.
Yeah, so even when there is no football going on, there is still a DetroitLions.com, and we still want to have coverage for you guys. So that's our challenge during the off season, and it's a fun one because when there's no football going on, we kind of get to focus on the off the field a little bit more, and that's what we've tried to do this off season. Like you said, we went to Marvin Jones' house here in Michigan, and he has a custom home recording studio. And as you guys know, I'm sure, he loves to sing. He's really good at it. And he's got this whole setup at his house that is really impressive. So we kind of went behind the scenes. He gave us a tour of that. And we've done some other features as well. Just today, we posted one about a behind the scenes tour of the Riddell factory where they make the Lions helmets. And that one was really fun. We went down to North Ridgeville, Ohio, and they kind of walked us through the whole process from the bones of the helmet to the completed version. And it's really cool, especially with all the craze about uniforms and the changing the Lions uniforms this year. I know there's been such a heavy following as to how those changes are playing out and, you know, what they look like. And we got to go behind the scenes and kind of show part of that with our Riddell factory tour. And, you know, we've done some other things here and there. Like yesterday we went to a dairy farm with Amir Abdullah, and that video is coming out soon. And he actually milked a cow. So
wow.
We have a video of Amir Abdullah milking a cow for you in the off season. This is what we do during the NFL off season.
Was it a speed
thing? There's all kinds
thing?
Of stuff like that.
Or did he?
What was that?
Was it a speed thing, or was he able to get the udders in some kind of crazy configuration where he'd cut back all the time? What is it with Amir and milking a cow? I can't
no,
wait
I
to
think
see that.
He just followed standard procedure, but he was pretty good at it. So we had a good time. And, you know, of course, there's always updates on the construction at Ford Field and whatnot, because that's a big thing that's coming up. So we've got stuff coming all the time on DetroitLions.com. But those are just kind of some of the things that I've been working on.
That's awesome. Awesome, Tori. Thank you so much for joining us. So, folks, don't forget, DetroitLions.com, all kinds of great content year-round coming from Tori and the whole crew over there, Tim 20man, Mike O'Hara, and everybody. And also, check Tori out on Twitter, @SportsTori. Make sure you check her out. She's got great stuff going all the time. Tori, thank you again so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thank you, guys, as always, for having me.
All right, that's going to do it for this week. Remember, this show needs your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us your feedback. The reason we're number one is because of you guys, and we want to keep going, keep growing, and make that all happen. Also, thank you for all the folks on Patreon who help us out. Patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast or DetroitLionsPodcast.com. And click on that Patreon link, you folks. Well, that's why I have this little corner studio in the corporate apartment, to be able to keep doing this during this move. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. That's facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And follow us on Twitter @DETLionsPodcast. That's @DETLionsPodcast. It's the best place to see Case. Help us out by using the Amazon link at the website. It's the shop link up in the top of the main menu. Just click on that and do your shopping at Amazon or Fanatics to get your Lions or other gear. Helps us out, and it's by doing something you're going to do anyway. Also, leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or give us a call on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. That's 929-335-4667. Give us a call, leave a message, and get a chance to hear yourself on the show. Also, don't forget to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe to the podcast so we can come in your box automatically. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go, baby.
Lions on three. One, two, three.
Lions!